you ever need to be reminded of that? Yes, Jesus loves me. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. But He loves us. And here goes the hum. Well, hello. Okay, we had a little trouble with our sound system this morning. And I'm not surprised that it's talking back to me. Let's see if we can fix that. Please be nice to me now. All right. Hopefully we will not have any more singing mics. Okay. Just a few things. We have a few prayer needs. I guess a praise. Some of you might have heard Randy Corky ended up in a car accident down where she was with her daughter Christina, who had their new baby granddaughter Olive. We were happy to hear that Olive was welcomed into the world, but Randy got rear-ended, and I'm going to steal the testimony. I spoke with Curtis this morning. He said Randy's doing great. She was a little banged up, a little sore at one point, but she's doing well, and that's probably why it's making noise. God is faithful. Praise God. Continue to pray for her work. We want to lift up our sister Kate Rulison. It was scheduled for knee surgery this Tuesday, and she started coughing. And she's decided that it's probably every year at this time, Denise was saying she gets allergies and allergy attacks. It's probably just that. But because she's coughing, they may postpone her surgery. So we want to pray that God will deliver her from that, and that she won't struggle with that. And then Denny Dunham came home from the hospital yesterday. Glory to God. He was looking a lot better, feeling a lot better. Was in the hospital for a couple of days. But his kidney function is better, his colitis is under control, and his blood pressure is back to normal. So continue to lift him up. He's had a lot of sickness. We want to pray and believe God to strengthen him. Father, today we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you protected our sister in that car accident. Thank you, God. Thank you for being faithful to Randy. Pray that you would bless her, Father. Thank you that there was no residual issues, nothing with her eyes, nothing with her head. Father, we give you glory and praise and thanks. And we pray that you would just restore her in every way. Father, we pray for our sister Kate today. God, that you would move, that you would help her, Lord. That you would deliver her from this allergy or whatever it is that's causing her to cough, Father, that she'd be able to have her surgery, Lord. God, we pray that you would move and touch and help her and go before her, Father. We pray that you would release her from that and help her to be able to get all that she needs. And we thank you for our brother Denny. We thank you for your faithfulness to him. We pray that you would restore him and restore his strength, Lord. Now in this time, Father, after several bouts of illness, Lord, we pray that you would restore him. God, we pray that you would lift him up, strengthen and encourage him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you didn't get a chance to take a look at the railing out here, I wish we could have had a before and after, because the before was pretty bad. The paint was all peeled up and we had a lot of bare wood out there, but if you go out and look at it now, it's beautiful. Thank you to everybody who took time and power washing and scraping and painting and all of that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's something of blessing that comes when we take care of what God's given us. Years ago, our brother Dave Herr, he thought, we need, he was watching people trudging up the hillside out here, And he said, you know, we need a staircase. And being Dave, he just looked at it and he went out and built it. No plans, nothing, he just built it. amazing guy. I'm hoping we can get him out here to share again sometime at some point. The miracle of their church in Westfield is just astonishing. They took an absolutely derelict, bombed out canning factory. And, I mean, Dave and his wife Wendy are tremendous people and creative, and they build, but that was a stretch of faith even for them. If you saw that, it literally looked like a bomb went off in this factory. And they had their first service, I don't know, 8 months ago in there. And God is just blessed. I got to get pictures. I keep saying, send me pictures. I want before and after pictures. It's just such a miracle. But that staircase is part of his legacy. And thank you for all of you that helped to restore that. Wonderful. I heard the ladies' meeting was terrific yesterday. Wonderful. Thank you to everybody that helped to make that possible, and for everybody that took part, labored in that, and took time to pray. There are good things coming with our ladies, especially. There's wonderful things with the men, wonderful things with the ladies. I sat and talked with Sister Judy the other day. Actually, she sat and talked to me. She says, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, here I am. She said, well, I have a vision for this, and I'd like to do that, and I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do that. And I said, Sister, you go for it. You go. Amen. Are there any testimonies today? I told Curtis is for him. I don't know if you were planning on saying anything or not. Anybody else have a testimony you want to give glory to God for something he's done this week? Sister Judy. Okay, but it won't be on the recording. And there are some people that just, I know, some people just really can't hear you. So
I just wanted to acknowledge that word of faith that you gave right there about the toe, that's me. And I grabbed it.
Woo! Glory to God. I have to say that the Lord has a way of giving me the most, sometimes kind of uncomfortable words, and at the strangest times. And I just heard the Lord say, somebody needs their toe restored. Oh, I remember one service, the Lord spoke to me and said, somebody needs prayer for runny eyes. I said, oh God, please don't make me get up and say that in front of the church. No. Runny eyes. I wrestled with the Lord for all of 15 seconds or so, and then I said, okay. And I went up and I said, someone is struggling with runny eyes and you need prayer. If you get prayed for, God is going to touch you. Nobody came up. Have I told this over and over? I probably have told that story over and over. Nobody came up for prayer. And then, you know, first of all, I just get up and say runny eyes in front of everybody, and then nobody comes. So I went home, and I was like, well, okay, I guess I didn't hear that one very well. Next week, oh, God bless him, I'm going to tell on him. We're in the back room, and Denny Dunham comes up, and he says, you know that word about runny eyes? He said, that was me, and I didn't know if I should come up. He says, but if you pray for me now, will it still work? And I said, amen, it will. And I laid hands on him, and his eyes dried up. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, glory be to God. All right, so let's get into the Word today. And today I want to encourage you on the subject I've shared on this in the past. I think my first year here I spoke specifically on this, but God said it's time to visit this subject again. Speak life. We are called to speak life. And I want to say that in my upbringing, I learned to speak death. Now, when I say death, I didn't go around saying, die! But I went around saying things like, I can't. I can't do that. I'm no good. It's no good. Everything is terrible. This is going to be the worst day ever. Just death. Death. And God calls us to speak life. Oh, I've had so much trouble over the years with my tongue. This little guy right here gets you into trouble. So we're going to start, and I'm hoping and praying that this will actually work today. Last week it worked about 50% of the time, and I readjusted it. Oh, well, okay. Numbers 13, we're going to start in Numbers today. And God has given Moses and the children of Israel magnificent promises. And probably everybody here has heard this story, but hopefully we can pull a little bit of new truth out of this. These were the names of the men Moses went to spy out the land. And if you go to Numbers 13, there's a huge list of people from the various tribes of Israel that he sent to go out and to spy out the land. And God gave to Joshua, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he told them, go up through the Negev and into the hill country, see what the land is like and whether its people are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land where they live good or bad? Are the cities where they dwell open camps or fortifications? Is the soil fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Be courageous and bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, dwelled. It had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And please go. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, which they carried on a pole between two men. They also took some pomegranates and figs. Because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut there, that place was called the Valley of Eshcol. After 40 days, the men returned from spying out the land, and they went back to Moses, Aaron, and the whole congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back a report for the whole congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they gave this account to Moses. We went into the land to which you sent us, and indeed it is flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of its fruit. Nevertheless, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly conquer it. But the men who had gone up with him replied, we cannot go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they gave the Israelites, a bad report about the land that they had spied out. The land we explored devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw there are great in stature. We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we must have seemed the same to them. We can't. Now, my question first is, God, from a public relations point of view, why did you send spies into the land? Why did he send them? I mean, he'd already made the promises. He'd already told them he was going to deliver it to them. So why send out spies to see if it was real? Did you ever wonder about that? Yeah. He He had already told them it was that land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted them to see it with its blessings and with its challenges, and to see what they would do with what they saw. Or as our sister said, he's gonna test their faith. Let's see what you do with what you saw. And in verse 28, the spies came back and said, it's true. It's this fantastic land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's wonderful, incredible. Nevertheless, there's that word, but, oh, it's scary. And then come the litany of problems. And in verse 30, Caleb stands up and says, no, we got to go right in now and take it. We can take it. God's going to give it to us. And in verse 31, we can't. We can't, we can't, we can't, we can't. Now, Caleb, was he just being positive?
No.
He's just, yeah. Caleb's he's got a positive attitude. Go, Caleb. You know, the power of positive thinking. Yeah, you know, in every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. You can try to be positive all you want. It wasn't just positive thinking. Caleb was agreeing with God. He was agreeing with what God said is true. And so the others that said we can't, they were outrightly denying what God said. And then it says they brought a bad report. This is very interesting. The Hebrew word there is dibah. I just love the Hebrew language. It's so fascinating. The bad report, that term dibah, means literally a whispering a defamation or a slander. But the literal implication of it is that which glides stealthily. Do you hear that? What does that put you in mind of? Sounds like a snake. Yeah. Is that the voice of the devil? Right there? That bad report, where did it come from? You can't go into that land. Look at those big people. That stealthy, gliding, slanderous lie that came to those people and caused them to fear. The interesting thing is, all those spies saw the same thing. They all saw the same thing. But some of them saw it and believed God. Others saw it and believed the devil. And that there's nothing in between. They all saw the same thing, but what comes from them, that's the problem. Proverbs 18, I was going to do just verse 21, but the two verses in front of it really are the context. An offended brother is harder to win than a fortified city, and disputes are like the bars of a castle. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's belly is filled. So it can either be filled with something good, or it can be filled with bitterness. And with the harvest of his lips he is satisfied. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Yow. I want to jump right to the next. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. A man of knowledge restrains his words, and a man of understanding maintains a calm spirit. And then my favorite scripture, even a fool is considered wise if he keeps silent and discerning when he holds his tongue. So you can look really smart if you just shut up. I have found that's been the best advice that I have sometimes. You want to be smart in this situation, Dave? Close your mouth. Sometimes I just need to listen and not talk. A man of knowledge restrains his words. And I found just a tremendous quote. I think it was Toby Mack. I'm not sure. Don't say something permanently stupid because you are temporarily upset. Isn't that good? Don't say something permanently stupid, or don't do something permanently stupid because you are temporarily upset. Do you know it's possible? It's possible to let it fly, but the consequences can last for years. It can destroy relationships. It says a brother offended is harder to be gained. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. So important is it to speak life and not death that Jesus said, when problems with people arise, get it taken care of right away. Don't wait. Fix it. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to be tempted to speak death. Oh, please. Yeah. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell all your friends about it and grump about it so that they will know what a big jerk he is. I have seen that tear churches apart. Tear people apart. Tear organizations apart because people will run around and then suddenly you've got other people who weren't even a part of the thing, now they have a problem because they heard it, and you got to be the blessing of taking your, and now they're walking around, you know, with you. If your brother sins against you, go and confront him privately. Privately, go and get it taken care of. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with me, please, please come and talk to me. I will be nice to you, I promise. I will do my best. I will listen to you. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, go and talk to them. But for heaven's sakes, don't go and share prayer requests. We need to pray for brother so-and-so. Listen to what he did. We need to pray for him. That is not a prayer request. That is gossip, and it will tear things apart. Gossip pulls unrelated people into a matter, and now they have a problem too. We don't need it. That's why in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Get it taken care of. If you're upset, do something about it. Resolve it. God wants to bring restoration. Click. 12:15, Hebrews. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up to cause trouble and defile many. If you let bitterness get in and come out, it's not going to just defile you. It's going to defile lots of people. We don't need that. Now that's the problem with negative speaking. You know, the unbelief, the gossiping, the slander, the things that can get us into trouble. But there is a flip side. I don't want to spend all my time talking about don't say bad things. Because we can speak life. We can speak life. If it was just about not saying bad things, we'd all walk around with a piece of tape over our mouth. That'd be easy. That'd be great. Paste it on, we're good. Walk around life like that. But people need to hear life. You know, I've discovered in my, as a teacher with young kids, and if you don't know, I teach kindergarten through fifth grade music. Kids in my class, I will often have to correct bad behavior. Yeah, sometimes there's misbehavior in the class. And, you know, Johnny, stop whopping Susie on the head. Jimmy, don't kick George. Do you see, look at his face. Did he like that? But the thing that works best. I will find a kid in my class and I'll stop. I'll say, oh, boys and girls, stop. Look at Susie. She is sitting up. She is watching me. She's been singing. Susie, you are awesome. Give me five. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, all the other kids go, why? Because they want somebody to speak life to them. Hey, I'll do it too. Look at me. Speaking life. You know, it's just, there's something that comes when we speak life. It's almost contagious. It inspires faith in the person. And then that person can inspire faith in somebody else. All of a sudden, it's happening. Oh, I believe that God can do it for you. Yeah, I think I can. And so can you. And you, yeah, encouragement. Blessing. When you speak life, it bears fruit. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speak those things that are going to build somebody up, that are going to encourage them, that are going to be a blessing to them. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, God wants you to be someone who speaks life, not death. So, as always, I love to have points. If you haven't noticed, I'm a point teacher. I like to have point A, point B, point C. It's the guy in me, the logical thinker. How do I become a life speaker? How can I be, what do I do to be that person who speaks? You've told me I need to do it. What am I going to do? Number one, fight anger and forgive often. The first step in being a life speaker is fighting anger and forgiving often. You know, there's a saying, hurt people. And it's true. If you're hurting inside, you're not going to be able to speak life to anybody. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you need to fight that anger, release it, and forgive. Walk in forgiving. Releasing anger and forgiving quickly will enable you to be positive with other people. Oh, please go. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, outcry, and slander, along with every form of malice. Do you see that almost every one of those things named has to do with your mouth? Almost every one of them. Bitterness comes out of your mouth, rage and anger, outcry, slander, every form of malice. And then what happens? You get rid of it, and then you can be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Now, there are times where if somebody offends you, you go to them. But you know, there are times in the world where people are going to offend you and there's just no going to them. You know, it says if your brother offends you, get it right. But there are times where offenses will come, and by God's grace, we can overlook them. You can let it go. You don't have to live feeling that, why did you do that to me? I'm going to be mad at you for the next 30 years. You know, I discovered one day driving to work, I got mad at somebody in my car that something they did to me 30 years ago. I was mad at them in my car on the way to work. Hello? How stupid is that? Have you had that experience? Things tend to want to pop up again. So what do? You forgive them again. You overlook them again. And you pray for that person. Oh, glory. Oof, move on, Dave. Number two, speak life to yourself. You're not going to be able to speak life to somebody else. Speak life to yourself. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Well, yeah, you'd be too if you came back and found your home burned, everything burned, the whole place burnt down, and your wives and your children all carried away. Yeah, that's awful. The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was distressed, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He found a way to speak life to that part in his soul. And what happened? He got the guys together, said, let's go, let's get it all back. And they chased him down. They caught him. They got everything back. Everything. So you just look at what the devil's stolen from you in your life, and you go and you get it back. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God and believe Him for everything that's ever been stolen from you, every negative thing that's been spoken over your life, all that garbage. There's a song, I love it. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I don't know how to sing. I can't remember the tune. But there's a video on you. If you look it up, there's a video on YouTube, and it's this animated bear, and he's walking. He's coming in. He goes into the enemy's camp, and he takes back what the enemy stole from him. Psalm 43:5. Why so down? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I was blessed to have a wonderful lady in my life, my grandmother. Her name was Marion Williams. But I never knew her as anything but Grandma Willie. And my Grandma Willie was a precious, precious believer. It was something else. She lived to be 99 years old, and you know what? She'd have lived to be 120 if somebody hadn't pushed her down. She got knocked over, and she was older, and it broke her hip, and she never really recovered from that. At 99, she was still going strong. And if you asked her how she was, she'd just say, fine, I'm fine. And she always said that the Lord took care of her. I remember she was in the grocery store with my aunt, her daughter, and they were shopping. And my aunt suggested to her, of course she's in her 90s, and she said, well, maybe you'd like to use one of these carts, special carts that you ride around in. And my grandmother said, oh, those are for old people. You know why she said that? Because she wasn't old. At least she wasn't up here. She wasn't old. And, you know, she had such a desire to serve God. She went looking into the Word of God, and she saw it. The Lord brought something to her attention, you know, visiting those in prison. And she said, you know, I've supported the orphans. I've helped the widows. I've done all that. But I've never visited those in prison. So at 92 years old, she grabs her Bible and she goes to the jail and she starts prison ministry. And she goes into the jail and she's preaching to the prisoners over there. And then she's telling me, oh yeah, so-and-so got out on parole. Yeah, he came over and visited me. I said, what? You have ex-cons coming to your house? She's like, oh yeah, it's great. We had a great time. Yeah, it was something else. Prison ministry at 92. And she visited a whole bunch of those guys for years. You know why? Because she wasn't old. You know, that's who I want to be. I want to be Grandma Willie. I want to be the person that's ready to go. Regardless of it. And you know, she didn't have perfect health. She had arthritis, but she persevered in spite of it, and she constantly encouraged herself. You know, some days I'm tired. I say, "Oh, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. I don't feel like exercising today. I just don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. I don't even want to." You know, for fun one day just for fun, I was feeling that way, and I said, "I love exercising. I just love it. It's good for me. I feel better when I'm done, and it keeps me stronger, and it's going to help me to be able to serve God and keep going for years ahead. I really love it." Now, I was trying to tell my downcast soul something there. You know what? I kept saying it. You know, a little while later, there I am exercising. There I am. I had that with my Bible reading at one time. I was into, what was it? I don't know. Probably Leviticus something. But our endless genealogies and, you know, if you have leprosy and you have a rash, go to the priest, and does it turn white and does it have hair in it? And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like reading. And so I thought, no. I said, I love the Word of God. I love it. It speaks life to me. It washes me. I can't wait to read the Word of God. And so all of a sudden, there I am. I'm reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But the Lord helped me to change up here. And it changed my behavior. It changed my outlook and my attitude. Speak life. Speak life to yourself. It's good. Now, I'm not saying you should deny reality, you know. We all have our limitations, but let's be encouraging to us. Let's be encouraging to us, regardless of the situation. Okay, anyway, number three. Live proactively to encourage others. I like the word proactively because it involves some premeditation. It means that you're not just kind to somebody if something happens. You're thinking about it beforehand. You're out there. You're ready. You've got your antenna up. Be the person that doesn't come to church to be encouraged. Be the person who comes to church to encourage others. Yeah. You know what happens when you do that? A generous soul will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Glory to God. You come and you refresh somebody else, you're going to get a splashback. It's going to come. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Do it. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider. When they say consider, yeah. Proactive, premeditated, be a spy for Jesus. Be the undercover agent of encouragement. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Glory be to God. You know, my Grandma Willie, I'm going to bring her up again, she was wonderful. She was wonderful to visit. If you asked her how she was, she'd say, I'm fine. And if you probe a little farther, I'd ask her, well, you know, how is this? And she said, how is that? And I know you have this. And she said, no one wants to come and visit somebody who complains about their problems. She said, nobody wants to hear that. She didn't want to be a complainer, so she wouldn't talk about it. But she would say, tell me what you've been doing. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And she was very interested in me. And as I began to share, she'd say, oh, that's wonderful. And she would slap herself on the knee. I'd think, my gosh, doesn't that hurt? And she'd be so excited. She, oh, that's wonderful. And she would, it was so much fun to go and visit her. You know, you think, okay, I'm going to go visit my 92-year-old grandmother. It was a joy. Oh, I used to go to her house and we'd have Bible study. Oh, it was exciting. It was wonderful because she would encourage me. Glory be to God. Be somebody who encourages others. You know, nobody wants to hear an organ recital. You know? And you think, why not? Who wants to, oh, my liver's bad. Oh, my heart's bad. Oh, my arms are bad. Oh, let me tell you, I had the worst bout last night. I spent the whole night in bed with Arthur and Bruce. Arthritis and bursitis, you know. Who wants to hear about that? Yeah, my Grandma Willie wouldn't talk about it. She'd say, no organ recitals here. So, but she would encourage me. And I remember leaving, and I would leave excited and happy and so built up. I just lived. Oh, I lived to go to her house and have those Bible studies. It was wonderful. But Can I say to you, encouraging somebody, true encouragement is not just affirming someone or making them feel better about themselves. And it's not flattery. It's not go to church and say, hey, you look terrific today. Well, I mean, that might be nice for them to hear, but really, real encouragement is going to cultivate some things in a person's life. It's going to cultivate their humility. It's going to cultivate their courage. It's going to build up their hope in God. That is real encouragement. That's the kind of encouragement that we need. How does God encourage? I want to look at an example quickly, and I'm coming in for a landing here. We're going to be done in a minute here. But first, Joshua 1, and I started at verse 5. We could have started earlier, but I don't need a million slides like the first. So God has given Joshua his walking orders. They need to go into the land, possess it, and go forward. But now God is going to encourage Joshua in something. No one shall stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people the inheritance of the land that I swore to their fathers I would give them. Above all, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to observe all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from the right, from it to the right or to the left, so that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? How many times did he say that to him? It's at least three. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's three points I want to pull from this. First of all, God has laid out for Joshua what this coming into the promised land means. The Canaanites are there. You're going to have to go in and you're going to have to wipe them out. They are in there, destroy their land. There was a lot there. There's a tremendous promise, but also a tremendous challenge. So in encouraging someone, number one, start with the truth. Unlike flattery, speaking the truth in love is the first step in really encouraging someone in the right direction. And God laid it out. He said, There's adversaries. There's enemies ahead, and you're going to have to face them. Number two, encouragement will aim a person at obedience. He's saying, go in. Be strong. Be courageous. Take the land. Walk forward. And then number three, real encouragement will strengthen someone's hope in God. Have I not promised you? Have I not commanded you? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yes, I see your challenge. But if you will walk with me, you will obey me, I will be with you, and you will be successful. Do you think Joshua felt encouraged after that? Do you feel like if God comes to you and says, you're going to be strong and courageous, you can do it, and I'm going to be with you. The giants may be there, but you're going to wipe them out. Glory to God. We're not going to say, oh, everything is going to be wonderful in your life from now on. But we can say, yeah, you may have some giants, but I'm praying with you. I believe in God that you can do it. And be the person who comes alongside that person and stands with them. Help them. Be the person that stands in faith with them. God will bless you in it. Father, thank you that you have called us to speak life. Father, in a day where we hear so much death being spoken, so much criticism, so much negative, speaking, so many things that are hard to hear, Lord, help us to be people. And Lord, we don't want to just have a positive attitude. We want to instill hope in God. Father, we thank you that we heard today, every promise that you make is true. Every promise. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, God. So, Father, we thank you today for that. And we pray that you would help us to be those that have in us that reservoir of encouragement to be able to share with others. And Lord, if it's not there, if we're a little low on that end, then give us grace, Father, to be to receive encouragement and to be people who can encourage ourselves. And Lord, when life is hard, help us to forgive, help us to put off anger, help us to put away bitterness, and help us to believe you, Father, that you are a faithful God. You are faithful. And Lord, help us, give us opportunities this week to practice this. Help us to speak life into other people's situations. God, we have a world that's dying for somebody to say something kind to them, to love them, to encourage them, to speak life to them. Help us to be life speakers, Father, life bearers. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, obviously we're all here today, but if you're here for prayer, please don't leave without prayer. We would love to believe God with you for whatever need you may have. Yes. Coffee fellowship. I know that there's apple crisp coming because I think it baked in my wife's oven. Yeah, so please stay for a few minutes and enjoy some fellowship. But if you want prayer, please don't leave without that. We believe God is the God of miracles. If you have a need in your life, we would love to pray for you. God bless you.